always got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
We want to let you in on a secret of business.
Oh, a business secret.
Yeah, I know that's why our listeners listen to our podcast, is because we give them sound business advice. Right?
I was going to say, I definitely know that this podcast is way up my, what I'm jonesing for right now that I have to talk about.
Right.
Far more than anybody else, because really it's one of those news rumors and lies podcasts.
It's a business podcast. All right. But I'm going to tell you the secret. You ready for the secret?
I guess, yeah.
The secret to being the boss of, let's just say, Disney, is simply that you have to be named Bob.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
How easy is that?
Yeah.
Get your name changed to Bob.
And you're done.
And you're good to go.
Well, to be fair, no, maybe this isn't fair, because it's the real name's Robert, and that turns into Bob or Bobby or Rob or, right? Like this, right?
I say Bob.
Okay. Totally right.
I the heading of this podcast for me is Bye Bye Bob and Hi New Bob. Because that's all it takes.
So as everybody knows, Bob Iger resigned suddenly this week, right?
Yeah. And what I thought was interesting is that everyone was surprised by it. It seems like something that people would know that was coming. You know what I mean? Like, he's mentioned retiring.
Right.
Before, and he wrote his book and all that kind of stuff. And then when he stepped down, everyone was like,
What? Right. Well, it's always definitely a big deal when a CEO decides to step down from a company, especially when he's been in place for 15 years.
Right.
And he's only like, what is it? Like the sixth CEO of Disney's history?
Is that it?
Yeah, like six. There's been like none. So for a company of that size, of that longevity, that's a pretty good track record for people to have.
Yeah.
You know, and if you gave me the keys to the kingdom, I would never let go of them.
Well, like, I'm sure it's a very stressful job, honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're pretty soundly financially compensated for that.
That's true. Absolutely that.
He made a couple of bucks being CEO. Ooh, right?
No, you got a salary? You going to tell me a salary now?
Oh, heavens. No. Oh. No. Why would I tell you that?
I'm totally going to look it up.
Okay. Well, you can look that up. But we get a new Bob.
Right.
In filling in that space. And let me make sure I get his last name right.
Good luck pronouncing this one.
Is it Chapek?
Sure.
Sure. Chapek. Chapek.
And I just even heard somebody pronounce it properly, and I forgot what it was. But yeah, I'm just calling him
Bob 2.
Sure.
Bob number 2.
Bob number 2.
And he currently, well, before this, was the head of Parks Experience and Products for Disney.
Which I think sounds pretty exciting, because Bob Iger came from the from the movie background, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prior to this, which doesn't mean that the parks were neglected in any way. They've gotten a lot of love over the years.
Yeah.
But I wonder if somebody who was more thoroughly invested in the park experience might be pretty good for us as park goers.
True. I mean, Bob Iger is not completely leaving the company.
Which I find that the most shocking thing about this whole thing.
I think maybe what it is he found his passion in a specific part of being CEO and saw a position that he would like better. And instead of just up and abandoning the company, he said, well, I'll step into this position.
Yeah.
And then let somebody take over the business side of things.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. I saw it compared to, basically, Bob Iger is becoming the Walt Disney, where he gets to have fun being creative and touching that kind of thing, while this new Bob is taking over the Roy position, where you worry about business and finance and money.
And all that type of stuff.
And so that makes sense to me. If I were Bob Iger, I'd rather be the Walt Disney side of it too.
Sure. And no matter what way you look at it, though, you have to say that it's a way of him to kind of transition out of power.
Sure, yeah.
Because you can't say that you've been the very top and then go back down the chain a little bit. Like I think it's very, it's a good thing that he's staying on. Why not keep him on, you know, for that, if he's willing to do it?
Right. Like, he's done great things while he's been CEO. Uh-huh. I mean, not least of which is he bought pretty much the entire
everything
world.
Everything on Earth.
He bought Pixar, Lucasfilm, Marvel, 21st Century Fox, Open Disney Plus. He expanded both parks in this country, including building the one in Shanghai.
Shanghai was amazing.
And, you know, he's been a busy, busy, busy man.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not that he didn't do anything and got bored and left. I think it's just that he did so much and then said, okay, I need to step away from this. It's exhausting.
Well, and I remember that he was going to resign back before the, what was it that just happened? The Fox merger. Back before that, he was ready to call it a day back then. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, with all of this that's now happening, like, I need to make sure that we see it through this portion of things.
Right.
And so for that reason, I'm going to stay on to make sure that we get through that properly. And they did. And they did. But I thought that I'd seen somewhere that he was planning on staying on until 2021. We just barely made it to 2020. So I think maybe that would be the thing that people were somewhat shocked by.
Is that he was staying on?
The fact that it's not 2021.
Ah.
I thought that there was rumblings of sorts that he would be on until 2021. And then for it to come a little bit quicker was a bit of a, you know. But I don't know if there is a good way when a CEO steps down. You can't tell everybody, you know, come the end of the year. Like you know, you guys got 6 more months with me, because especially as a publicly traded company, there's legality issues around that type of a thing.
Right.
And you don't want to like let people work up in their mind how big of an issue it is. So the only way you can do it is to basically rip off the Band-Aid and just be like, effective now.
Right.
Immediately today, the announcement is official right now.
And that's what I kind of thought this was him kind of avoiding a stock issue where, you know, if you tell people, like you said, I'm leaving on this day, all of a sudden everyone starts panicking and your stocks will fluctuate and people will be buying, selling, trading, all this nonsense.
Yeah.
Whereas if you just do it quickly and, you know, the general day-to-day of the business doesn't really change that much.
Yeah.
I doubt it'll affect the stocks much.
Right. No more than anything else is going on right now. Yeah. So that's totally, it just seems like that would be the only way to do it. The only way. And you're exactly right with the writing of the book. I think there were, like, nobody writes their book like in that position until you're either out of position or nearing the end of your position. And he probably did it nearing the end because it would help sales of the book.
Right. I tried to write my life story when I was like 13 and realized that my life was excessively boring.
And hadn't even begun yet.
Yeah. I had nothing to write about.
That's
so
funny.
You know, if you're going to write your memoirs, you need to wait till the end of an era to do it.
Yeah.
As a heads up, you know.
It's a good point. Definitely. It's very, very much that.
Yeah.
You have to wait until you're nearing the end when there's nothing else to put in the book.
Exactly.
Because you don't want to you can't do book number two.
Well, you could, but you're not going to be nearly as popular if you're not in the position that you were originally, right?
And you're right. If you're still having tons of fun with your job and you have all the money you want, and, you know, he did say that he's going to continue to work full-time for the job. It's not even that it's a part-time job. It's a full-time job still.
Okay.
So it's still going to occupy a good majority of his life to do what he's doing. But like you said, maybe without the financial responsibilities behind it. And if you don't have to focus on those other things, if you're not the one that's called when there's a catastrophe of sorts,
right?
You know, yeah.
When you don't have to do all the speeches and you don't have to do all the glad handing and stuff, and you get to focus on the fun stuff,
yeah,
I'd be all down for that personally.
Totally done, especially because it's like what you said. He's over what now? It's like creative affairs or something.
Oh, I didn't say what it was, but it was something like that. Like, yeah,
executive of creative affairs.
Yeah,
well, I don't even know what that even means, but
it has creative in it, so it's got to be somewhat fun, right?
But everything in Disney's creative. Even their bathrooms are creative at Disney.
Speaking of creative, I saw a very interesting post, totally off topic. So The Mandalorian, this very popular Disney Plus show that they have out.
Yeah.
Did you know the whole thing was filmed on a soundstage?
Oh, really?
And
that's fun.
The way they were able to do it is they have a giant curved screen like Soarin', and the backlit projections are so good now that it looks like you're outside.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that impressive?
That is impressive.
Good for Disney.
And you can, yeah, they just put you on a great big Soarin' soundstage.
Right?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Anyway, totally off topic. I just thought it was an interesting fact.
How great is that? You only have one building to go to work to each day?
And then they just change out like the physical sets in front of it.
Very cool. Which, by the way, is like totally the things that you used to see in like Star Trek, which I know is not Star Wars, but right? They had that.
The holodeck.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Totally go to the holodeck.
Yeah.
That's now where you go to work to film movies. It's on the holodeck. That's crazy.
Only for Disney, though.
Mm.
So I was wondering, let's just say that you were fortunate enough to be named Bob.
And change my name if it means I get to be the CEO of Disney.
If you were the new Bob,
yeah,
what would you make kind of your path for Disney moving forward? What do you think their focus should be now that they've got new leadership?
Mine is so minor that there's no way that if I put this in my sales speech, they would hire me for the job.
Oh,
because I'd be like, World of Color in every park.
That's not minor. That's really expensive.
I would like to fix Fantasmic at Florida.
Oh, sure.
I would like more Wreck-It Ralph in the park, please. They'd be like, this is not a billion.
This is not a vision. What is this?
This is not a billion-dollar company makes. Yeah, because last year they had 7 movies that came out that made over $1 billion each.
Oh.
Over 7 of them. Go figure. Yeah, so if I talk about World of Color in each park, they're gonna be like, oh, please.
That's small potatoes.
It's so small. I'll have to think about, like, what would my real vision be? Like,
I think it would be fun, if I were new Bob, to maybe open a Canada park. They don't have a Disney park up in Canada. They might think it would be fun. It's another North American park that you would probably pull a lot of Northern United States to get into. It might be kind of fun. Or my Disney Lone Star idea that we still haven't talked about on the podcast, where put a Disney park in Texas.
Yeah.
Which would be fun.
And we haven't talked about the other one too, the Disneyland Dubai, when they were doing that, like,
they were gonna do a Disney. Well, was it Disney? I thought it was Universal that was going in out in Dubai.
But it was going to be one of many parks that they were going to put in one area.
Gotcha.
And so they were basically going to try to figure out a way to build Orlando. So they were, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, would that be on my plan? But I think that you're going to. I know, right? I think you definitely have to have a really good movie plan to fund all of the theme parks. Because movies just make so much more money, so much easier.
Right. And I don't think I'd be great at that, because I would say, let's not make 300 Marvel movies. And everybody would be like, what? We have it planned out through 2026.
You know, those are our money makers, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So I wouldn't be popular in that opinion, because I think the superhero movies, they peaked at their Endgame movie that made a gabillion dollars. Then they re-released it to make sure that it made an extra gabillion dollars. So of course they're going to make more of those movies, but I would definitely push for more original films.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I think Disney has the money to take some risks and do something different. Thus far, I think they're leaving that mostly up to Pixar.
Yep.
They're telling Pixar, do all the new stuff. Except for Toy Story 4, obviously.
Well, and they have, what's the new one that just came out this weekend?
Onward. Did it come out this weekend?
It's coming out Friday.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
People say I've not seen any previews, so I am blissfully ignorant as to what that is.
Saw a couple of clips of mushrooms and a van, and I said, I'm in.
Oh, really? Are we in for that one?
I'm all about that one.
All right. I'm glad to go. We haven't been to the movies in a minute. I'll go see that one.
It's been long enough. We've recovered.
Yeah.
Properly. Yeah, I don't know what the big vision is for Disney outside of this. Like, do you think there's any ability to... One of the things I've just recently realized with their movie catalog is how much I really like Touchstone. And I remember watching the Touchstone logo back in the day mm-hmm. and thinking, these are going to be fun movies.
Oh, okay.
I almost kind of wish they would bring back Touchstone and go back into kind of those 80s style movies, because we're now living in a world where we like the idea of making content affordably again, because we went through a phase where everything was just given tons of money. We're still in that phase,
I guess,
but right, like, but wouldn't all of the things like Netflix and Hulu that are now, and Amazon movies that are all making their own content, we're now figuring out how to do movies on the cheap again. And it would be kind of fun if Disney were to reinvent their Pixar or their Touchstone type of a brand, even if they called it Touchstone. I think
we're
going
to get stuck watching Splash 2 then, or like a reboot of Splash.
Well, and I think that's one of the things I really liked about Touchstone is they were willing to give stupid concepts a chance.
Mm.
And when it only made a teeny bit of money, that was enough. They're like, that's fine. That's all we're looking for. We're just looking to like put $2 million in and get $6 million back. That's all we're looking for.
Right. Well, and all the Touchstone films that we've watched on Disney Plus thus far, you can see why they weren't released by Disney specifically.
Oh yeah. I had no idea they were Disney movies until just recently.
Was it Three Men and a Baby? Was definitely not a Disney type film.
No, there were drug jokes.
Big Business wasn't even really a Disney film. So it would be interesting to see if Disney would be willing to get back into that. But I wonder now if with Disney Plus, they are putting more of that effort into original content for Disney Plus.
Right. And well, I guess that was kind of my thought with it, would be to build that type of content for Disney Plus and put it out there, maybe like bring back like the Touchstone brand. Cause I kind of like the idea of building out those, tiles a little bit further, because they have additional content that they're not putting out there yet.
Mm.
So that, I guess that would be fun if I was Bob. If I was the new Bob, that's
Dear Bob.
Yeah, right. Like I would potentially think about that.
Yeah, they do have like this whole, forgive the reference, a whole new world of Disney Plus that they are building on now that they could do all sorts of interesting things with. The parks have been doing really well, obviously, lately. And I think, with the Avengers campus opening at Disneyland, I assume that Florida, you know, once they have full control over Marvel, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't show up in Florida shortly after that happens.
Yeah.
Do we remember when that is?
That they're opening Avengers campus?
That they have control over, Marvel east of the Mississippi.
If I'm remembering it properly, it's 2025.
Oh, okay. So we got a good minute.
Not in Disney years. In Disney years, that's like no time.
Well, they better start building now.
Yeah, I know. Legitimately.
Secretly. There's no way they couldn't do anything.
Shut up.
Secretly.
Do you think that's going to be gate number 5?
A whole Marvel park?
Yes.
It would be amazing.
Oh my gosh. I'm so glad I'm Bob now. We're doing park number 5, 2025.
See, and they're putting things into parks now, like Star Wars, that I think could support its own gate.
Uh-huh.
And would be a very interesting concept to try to work out. But now that they've put it already into Hollywood Studios, I don't think that they will open an entire
Star Wars park.
Star Wars gate down in Florida.
No, not now.
They might potentially add on to it at some point, but in general, yeah, I think the only way they have to go now is if they opened a Marvel park, which would be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you would do with that. I mean, outside of just doing the same thing that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I guess you could, I mean, you'd have to do all ages types of attractions in a Marvel park.
And I think it would be more of a teen to young adult centric park if you were to do that. And I think that's exactly what they like to build and the niche that they're that they like to appeal to because they've already got the kids.
Yeah.
And they already have the families, you know, so I think that that is definitely something that they would, and it's a huge franchise that they know that they're going to get control about in a certain period of time. So that might be it. And they are trying to compete with Universal's third gate that they've just, that they're working on building and opening now. Mm. So that really quite literally might be the direction of all of it. But I mean, I guess if I'm the new Bob, before I do any of that, I would be spending the $600 million on Tomorrowlands and getting those all fixed up right.
Good point. Tomorrowland needs the love. Especially Disneyland's Tomorrowland needs some love. Excellent point. Yeah. That would be a definite project for new Bob for sure.
I have a feeling old Bob left a lot of projects. He left a lot of blueprints of projects to come and mm-hmm. gave a really clear future of what is going to happen through 2030, 2040, possibly.
Oh, wow. Really? Like, you think that far out?
2040 might be a bit far. 2030, I bet they definitely have at least a 10-year plan of what they're doing with their parks and things. So there's a possibility, and there's a possibility that he won't have to make any decisions other than to plan what the next 10 years are going to be for after that. You know, like he's going to have to continue out there, whatever the plan is. And he may choose to change course too. Like, you don't have to follow Iger's original plan if there are changes that are going to be made.
Yeah.
But, and by the way, though, for 15 years as a CEO in today's world, that is a long time.
Yeah.
So good for him. Like, I'll have to go back and look to see how long. What was the other guy's name? The other CEO there?
Michael Eisner?
That ruined everything. Yeah, Eisner. we'll have to go back and look to see how long he was there for.
That's a good question. Career
more, but.
Long enough, in most people's opinion, I think. but, you know, business is business. And a lot of this stuff probably will not affect the rest of the company in any way. You know, a lot of things, like you said, are already in motion and moving forward. It'll just be interesting to see what new Bob decides is important to talk about and what is important to change.
And it's going to be really hard to add positive momentum on top of all of their amazing positive momentum. I just hope it doesn't turn into negative movement. That would be sad.
That would be sad.
We don't
maybe we can get new Bob to stop raising prices on park tickets.
Oh, shut up. Yes.
Come on,
new Bob. Listen up.
Come on, new Bob.
I want one rollback in prices. Just one.
Just one. Even if it's just for the day we buy tickets, please. Imagine how many tickets they would sell if they had a one-day rollback of prices. It would crash their website, I assume.
It'd be fantastic.
But it's like I always say, bye-bye, Bob. And hi, new Bob.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.